We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Christ Church Birmingham. More teaching can be found at www.christchurchbirmingham.org.
Right, so hi everyone. It's lovely being here to share the word with you. And I'm seeing lots of smiling faces coming back at me, which is really good and it's really encouraging. So off the back of our series on Ezra, where the temple was being rebuilt by the exiles in Babylon, we're going now through into our new series, The Foreshadowing of Easter. And in this account, we see Jesus talk about the tearing down of the temple and the rebuilding of it in 3 days. He's talking about the power and the work of the cross in the hearts of men. And the temple would not be a building like they did before, but it would be us, the people. I'm going to be reading from John 12, verses 35 to 43. And it's going to appear on the screen behind me. There it is. So if you have your Bibles, your digital one, or your actuals, just follow along with me. And I'm reading from the ESV version. And it says in John 12, beginning in verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they would not believe. For again, Isaiah says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believe in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogues. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Lord, may it not be true of us that we would believe in your son Jesus, that the revealed Christ comes to us, that we would see, Lord, with our eyes and understand with our hearts. And Father God, that we would turn to you and that you might save us. Amen. If you were here the last few weeks, Brian started, he opened up our series where we were looking at the days and the events leading up to Easter, with Jesus's amazing display of love for humanity. And as Brian so passionately and correctly described this time as the most powerful, transforming moment in the history of mankind. And I love Easter in the life of the church because it's that time when, and it's not just because of what the time represents, but it's because we have people who don't usually come to church. We have non-Christians that come to church, and we're able to use this opportunity to share with them the love of Christ. We share with them what it means that Jesus died for them, died for us all, that we would be saved. And it shows the love that the Father had for mankind, so much that he gave Jesus as a sacrifice to die in our place, the penalty for sin. And it shows Jesus, God the Son, willing to lay down his life for us because he loves us so much and he wants to reconnect us and reconcile us with God the Father. We heard last week that Jesus had this triumphant entry into Jerusalem as thousands of people from the millions that were gathered there for the Passover gave Jesus this royal reception where the people were laying down palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save us now." But the truth is, not everyone saw Jesus as the Savior. The title of our message today is The Rejection of Christ. And there's so much to unpack in these verses, and even in the story of Easter in general. But I wanted today to focus on one aspect of that, which is Christ rejected. Okay. The expectations of the people was probably that the Messiah would arrive with heaven's army to rival the Romans, this superpower, and to kick them out of their city and to free them. But instead, what they got was Joe and Mary's eldest boy from Nazareth rocking up on a baby donkey. And you'll think, and they're going, how is he going to save us? How is he going to save us against Roman rule, right? Like I said, we're looking at the days leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And as were the custom of that time, rabbis, when they visited a town or a city, would visit the synagogue and they would share their thoughts and they would teach and they would fellowship with each other. And as Jesus was a rabbi, he went to the temple. And when he gets there, there's loads of stuff happening, loads of crazy stuff. And he finds people trading inside the temple. And the money changers are selling particular coins to the people in order for them to pay their temple tax. And they're selling the animals for sacrifice. And they're overcharging the people and they're basically scamming them. And the people have come to worship God and to sacrifice to him. They've come with an offering. And other people are using that to gain and make profit from it. And Jesus kicks off. He's like, you're not going to treat my dad's house like this. And he kicks off and he tells them off and he just creates a massive scene. And the Pharisees did not like this. Because over the years, there were claims by other people that they were the Messiah, but nothing came of it. But with Jesus, the people were believing him and they were following him. Jesus spoke and acted with authority, and that made the Jewish leaders worried. Why was Jesus rejected? Well, one of the reasons is a hardened heart. So, there's two reasons these people's hearts were hardened, and one of those was that the heart of men. The Bible says the heart of men is wicked and self-seeking. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in and relies on mankind, making flesh his strength, and whose mind and heart turns away from the Lord." In other words, for those who reject Christ, turning away from God, and instead relying on themselves and other people, and the things of this of the world, thinking that this is all there is, they're lost in sin and death, and they're cursed. Those that rejected Jesus did this for different reasons, and the evidence was there in the miracles and that he performed, and the endorsement of God himself. In John 12, 28, and there's lots of scriptures, but bear with me. Jesus says, "Glorify your name." Then the voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine." Even though they had witnessed the voice of God, they would not reconciled that God had endorsed Jesus as the Messiah. He had approved him as the Messiah and the Savior. We can sometimes look back on the account of the lives of people in the Bible and be really harsh about the decisions that they made. And the truth is that we have religious organizations now that is rejecting truth and accepting lies because it is better, because it sits better with them, popular culture, and Christ and the cross is being pushed out and rejected as being old-fashioned and archaic. That it isn't relevant anymore, what Jesus did on the cross. It isn't relevant anymore, the things that Jesus is teaching us about being kind and being loving and wanting the Lord to come into our hearts and even to be freed from sin and death. And whilst we wait on Christ to return, some of us are making compromises that causes us to harden our hearts and close our eyes to the truth. That when Christ is revealed to us, we can't see it. Some of us fear being rejected by other people around us, the people that we work with or our loved ones, and we're worried about our reputations. And so we become low-key Christians. We believe in God, but only in our homes and only in other Christian homes and only in the church and only where the space is accepting of your faith. But you don't want to do it anywhere else because you don't want to lose anything for Christ. So I want to look at the characteristics of a hardened heart. So a hardened heart is self-seeking. It is selfish. It wants its own way. It rejects truth. It's unrepentant, and it doesn't believe that it is wrong. It's judgmental, and it looks for the bad. It rejects love and peace, and it becomes, over time, unfeeling and numb. But worst of all is that it becomes unbelieving. It opposes God, and it cannot recognize spiritual things. Fundamentally, we believe what we want to believe based on what we value. What is choosing God worth to you? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. We ask ourselves that all the time. What is God? What is Jesus worth to you? And let me hint, it's nothing compares to him. Absolutely nothing compares to him. Jesus is worth everything and then some. He's worth everything that you have. He's worth your reputation. He's worth being rejected. He's worth absolutely everything. Because he gave his life for you. Everything that you have comes from the love of God. His love for you. The home you have. The job you have, no matter how crazy it is. Your family that you have. The people that love you. Your being in your right mind comes from God. The fact that we're alive comes from God. It's worth everything. Accepting Jesus means committing to moving away from the world's value system and moving towards God's. And that doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a lifetime. Jesus comes and he saves us, not from our circumstances, but from our sins. And the second reason is that it's the will of God. It was the will of God for those people to reject Jesus. And this is why I think Jesus had to not only be seen as the savior of the Jews, but the savior of the world. Salvation wasn't only for the Jews, but it was for everyone. It was for us as well. It was God's plan to include us in salvation. John 12, 20 and 21 says, "Now amongst them went up to worship. At that feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Isn't that amazing, a statement to make? In this feast and this celebration that were for Jews, celebrating God liberating them from slavery in Egypt, this time that they had they'd done years and years and years. Here were Greeks, non-Jews, saying, I want to know Jesus. There is something about your God. There is something about Jesus, and I want to know. I want to meet him. This was God's plan then, and it still is now, that those outside of the covenant would have a heart of worship and a desire to encounter Jesus. If a hardened heart rejects Christ, then a soft heart must accept him, right? So we'll roll with that thought. And let's look at some of the characteristics of a soft heart. It seeks God's will. That's spending time reading your Bibles, reading our Bibles, and praying. And it doesn't have to be for hours on end. It can just be for 10, 15 minutes. Just spending time with the Lord, seeking him and his will, getting to know him, because that's how we get to know God. In the words where it tells us about his character, it tells us about his love, it tells us about his plans for us and his promises for us. Because when we're in these storms that we were singing about, he's our lighthouse. In those storms, when we can't see the shore and the waves are hitting us, he's what we focus on. And we know this and we learn this from his word. So, and in his word, the Holy Spirit is revealing God to us. And it's revealing that God is trustworthy. We can trust him in his promises for us. It is accepting truth and being willing to repent. It's receiving the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit reveals God. It's being vigilant, being more aware of what is happening with us and what we're thinking about. It's being intentional. It's making conscious decisions to not follow the negative thoughts that we have about God, about others, and about ourselves. It's trusting God, bringing our offenses to God, even the ones that we feel like he's offended us, bringing them to him and trusting him to lead us through it. Finding Christians with a history of wisdom and working it out. It's that desire in that heart to kind of say, I'm offended, but I want to not be offended. I want to forgive. I want to move on. I want to see peace. Being quick to show grace, forgiving others for hurts, being open to reconciliation, believing the good in people. And you have to be a little bit wise with that, because some people just in a measure of, you know, they can't get too close. But there is goodness to be found in people. And for some people, it's just covered up and covered over by years of hurt and years of just being in the wilderness and not knowing that there is a light, that there is a, wandering around in that darkness, not being able to see where they're supposed to go. It's about cultivating a heart of gratitude. We cannot be in two opposing states at the same time. We cannot be grateful and not be grateful at the same time. We cannot be fearful and hopeful at the same time. We can't occupy that. Cannot occupy that same, those opposing things in ourselves. And so when we cultivate a heart of gratitude, we push all of that negative out. All these things keep us open to the goodness of God and the softening of our hearts to accept God's love and his leading in our lives. So that we would see with our eyes and understand with our hearts that we would turn to God and we would be saved. God wants to see you and I free from the oppression of sin and darkness. That's why he sent Jesus, the light of the world, so that we would see clearly to repent of our sins and to turn to him and be saved. But not only that, just like the Jews of Jesus' time and the thought that the Messiah came for the Jews, God wants us to think bigger. He wants us to see people saved. Your salvation, our salvation, isn't just for us. He wants us to use our influence to encourage other people, that they would know him, that we would encourage other people in positive ways by sharing the hope that we have found in Jesus. We live in a world that is more and more hopeless. But it doesn't have to be like that. We have an everlasting hope in Jesus. And we need to share that hope with people. But we can't do that effectively if we have a hardened heart. So some of you are aware that I've been going through some stuff at work, and it's been months now. And the other day I shared that there was a victory, and we celebrated, and we were like, woo! And we were like really super happy, and I was really super happy because it's been going on since August. And on Thursday, I heard that it's not over. And I was like, oh man. And instantly, it's like this cold sweat just goes, and my heart just starts to race, because now fear is setting into my heart that I thought, God has saved me from this thing. For months I've been going through this thing, and God has saved me. He's heard my prayers. I've been praying to him. I've been praying for my enemies. I've been calling out to him. I've been pouring out to him. I've been believing in him. I've been trusting in him, and he's done it. Yes, it's over. And it's not. And everything was stirring up. But let me encourage you, because at the start of this journey in August, it took weeks and weeks of my spiraling in this space of believing that I was going to be overcome, that it was going to be dire, that I was going to lose everything, and it was going to be dire. And in that moment, as this cold sweat was coming on me, I went, you're panicking and you're fearing. Go to God. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that even if this isn't over yet, at the end of it, I will be victorious. And I was like, God, I don't know what is happening. And then I started praying for the people that were opposing me. And I started to give God praise, and I started to worship. And what's happened is I've trusted God, and I've been relying on God and trusting God. So when I got into a situation where I thought it was over and I found out that it's not, the time between when I realized and when I started praising was so much shorter than it was before. And whereas months ago, I would be waking up in the night just shaking because my body was so tense, I went to bed and I was fine. I had my sleep, I had my rest, and I was fine. God wants our hearts to be softened to him, to trust him, and to know that he's going to look after us. Whatever that looks like, he's going to be our savior. Whatever that looks like, whether it's Mary and Joe's boy on the donkey, or it's some massive army, he's both. Because he's all powerful. All power and glory belong to God. He's the God of peace, and he's the God who has all the might in the world. And whatever you need, because the same way that Jesus, that God went into Egypt and freed the Israelites, and he went in with power and he went in with might, okay? There was nothing Pharaoh could do to lose his firstborn son. There was nothing he could do. He has no power and authority, and he had to let God's people go. God came in with power and might, and he led them out. Okay? And then Jesus comes, and he's showing love and compassion. And he goes to the Samaritan woman, and he shows her love and compassion, and he calls her to him. He goes and he heals the man that is possessed.
Nobody wants to know him. He's got he's called Legion. He has loads of demons in him and he's possessed. And God goes to him and releases him. God can release us in anything. He can be whatever we need him to be. And we just need to trust that whatever method he chooses and however he shows up, once he shows up, everything has to go. Because once light comes in, darkness has to flee. It has to flee. Okay? I'm going to get the band to, the worship team to come up. We get the worship team to come up as I close a bit. I'm not sure on time. I think I was... Okay. So today... Today, if you're here and your heart is hard, because when I was going through some of the things about hardened hearts, I was like, oh God, my heart's hard. It's hard in every single direction. But the truth is, like sin, it's something that is working its way out. And we need to trust God as he's working all of these things out. And just like my heart was maybe hard to God's ability to save me, and as I've gone along, I realize that he can, and I'm quicker to go to him. I'm quicker to trust him. I'm quicker not to just look at what is in what my eyes can see, but what my heart knows. I'm quicker to remember my history with God has saved me all the times that he saved me. And that is my heart. And it reminded me and it encouraged me that my heart is getting softer. I'm hearing the voice of God more. I'm knowing my Savior. I'm trusting my Savior, which is what he wants. That's what he wants for all of us. So maybe you're going through something and you've been going through it for a long time and there's no breakthrough. And maybe it's your health or your finance. Maybe it's issues at work. Maybe you're hoping your hopes for your loved one, and maybe it's even your ministry, the work that you're doing for God, and it's not going right. And you've been faithful, but nothing is happening. There doesn't seem to be any meaningful change happening. And you're feeling like your faith is failing. You're feeling like you're drifting from God, and there's doubt coming in. And you're more fear than you are faith. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Prayer can break that. Prayer can stop the lies of the enemy. Let us speak life into you with our prayers. Let us show you the love of God. And maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ. And you're scared of what it means to accept Jesus. What will my friends say? What will my family say? Am I going to have to change being me? Maybe those are the questions you're asking yourself. And so you don't want to go to Jesus because you don't want to change those things and you're scared of what that change might be. Well, come and talk to me. Come talk to these guys at the front. Come talk to Steve or Dan. Let us tell you about Jesus. Let us tell you about the love of Jesus. Let us tell you about our encounter with Jesus and how he's changed our lives and how we are becoming who we're supposed to be. We're realizing who we are. We are understanding that the fear-based person is not us. The person that looks for people to do wrong and wait and go, yeah, I knew they were going to do it, and just judge them. That's not who we are. Let us pray with you and let us pray for you.